Blog Talk Radio.
You are on.
Good evening. This is We Talk Productions, one of the few Black-owned radio stations. And you're live with the best mind in Black America, Meeshawn Williams. And this is the Cutting Edge Show. This evening, I want to know what's on your mind. And I'm going to let you know what's on my mind right now. Chicago. In Chicago, 24 children under 10 years old have been shot in Chicago this year. New data was released by the Chicago police shows murders and shootings have drastically increased since 2019. Chicago had 105 murders in July. In 2019, in July, Chicago had 44 murders. Chicago had 584 shootings and victims in July, and last year it had 308 shooting victims. And that's according to the Tribune. So what is going on in Chicago? If you have a comment or a question, please call 516-531-9540 and press 1. I want to know what's on your mind tonight. So what can we do about Chicago? I was on the phone talking with one of my cousins who lives on the south side in Chicago a little while ago. And we were talking about how we would run around Chicago, go places by ourselves, and we never worried about being shot or somebody doing anything to us. And when people would get into it, they would just fight it out with their fists. You win some, you lose some. And in Chicago, this is out of hand, especially the black-on-black crime.
Okay, can I say something?
Yes.
Hello? Can I talk?
Okay,
yes,
go ahead.
Yes, I still have it to you on the air.
To me, it goes back to family values. The reason it's so out of hand, and then the, I guess, society didn't help by taking a lot of rights for the parents. My solution is I don't think the police can control this. It's going to be a household to household. Personally, I would take my child out myself if he was going around killing up other people. And, you know, some parents in Chicago are afraid of their children. I wouldn't be afraid of my child. If my child was out there killing up. See, I used to tell my kids, you can belong to a gang, but I'm the leader. I think the black community themselves gonna have to clean up Chicago, because the police, they're instigating some of this. As long as you're killing each other, it's not that big of a problem, believe me, as long as you keep it contained to your neighborhood. Parents don't have to get up, even if they got the arm up. They got to stop these kids, and it's a lot of them that's under, from maybe 12 to 12 and up that's doing these shootings. It's not grown people all the time. And I think that the families are going to have to get together and clean up their own neighborhoods. And the
This is not only a Chicago problem. This is a national problem that is going on throughout the United States of America. Oh, by the way, my name is Kenny Jones. I'm from Black Urban America. And this is not just a Chicago problem. It is happening almost in every black neighborhood community in America.
Okay, that's why I said it's a family problem, because these are kids and young adults out of hand who used to be children that's taking over and doing whatever they want to, and they don't have respect for nobody. And until the adults start fighting back against all this action, The police is not really going to do anything. They're going to come in and take some to the hospital, and then they're going to take some to the morgue. And they really want to take them to the morgue anyway. They don't have to kill us anymore. We're doing it ourselves. And that's part of racism against us, because they are helping these young people get access to guns. They don't know how to get these guns. They're being given some of these guns in these towns just to keep up a whole lot of mess. Long as you stay in your neighborhood, it's okay. They talk about it on the news, but that's just talk. They like what they see and hear. We're killing up each other and doing the job that they used to do.
I agree. And does anybody else have any comments?
Here you have another caller, 1139. 1139,
okay.
You are on the air.
Okay, before 1139 speaks, whoever's not speaking, mute your phone, because we keep getting background noise. Thank you. Okay, go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I was just going to, you know, just jump on and agree with the last caller. You know, I think, you know, I think she touched on a lot of great points. And I think, honestly, if we go back and we look at history, when we as a black people have made those strides, when we have made those movements, we see an attack on our culture. You know, you look at the Black Panthers of self-defense, party of self-defense. You know, that's really what they were trying to teach, you know, teach black people in general, not just what your rights are, what the laws are, but also give them positive role models in a way, you know, out of the hood. And, you know, where they can be economically, you know, sustainable on their own. I think in general, when you look at Chicago and you look at cities like that, we have to recognize, you know, this is designed. This is what they intended to happen. You know, we have kids raising kids, you know, you, especially in the city of Chicago. I mean, it's not uncommon to walk around and see a 13-year-old pregnant. You know, it's not crazy to have, you know, someone 16 years old and have 2-3 kids already, you know, like those type of things, you know, is going to automatically set us back, continue generations after generation after generation, when we don't have those role models for our kids to look up to. When we do have children, having children and raising children, you know, that was my big 2 cents of that.
Okay, caller. And do you have any comments or what's on your mind? Anything else?
Well, I mean, I think to go along with that, you know, if you want to talk about how do we, you know, uplift the black household, when you want to talk about how we, you know, as black people improve our own societies and things of that nature, I think part of that conversation, you know, has to go through, you know, with how we treat each other, you know, our roles in the household. I think those things have been very misconstrued. One of the things that me and my fiance talk about all the time is, you know, growing up as a black male, you know, I was always told and was taught, you know, how am I supposed to treat a woman? How am I supposed to treat a lady? You know, but what I can also say is something that didn't really come up in that household too often was how a woman is supposed to treat a man. And what we see today is a lot of, you know, Miss Independent, I don't need this, I don't need that. And it's like reality, you know, a household was on a family. A family isn't one person, you know, we do need each other. And those are the things that we do need to be talking about. So I would love for, you know, people to talk about not just the roles men are supposed to play, but also the roles that women are supposed to play, you know, in our households as well.
Okay, and what roles do you think black women should play in a household?
That's a great question. I think first off, I think I would tell every black woman out there not to throw yourself in a category, you know, with your counterparts as like the white woman or the Hispanic woman and things of that nature, because we're not the same. You know, you have, you know, white women saying, hey, we want equal pay. We want to go work. You know, since World War II, we've been hitting the workforce hard, this, that, and the other. But I'm like, as a black woman, you know, we've always had a two-income household. You know, black women has always been working, you know, even through slavery and before. I mean, like, so, you know, you're not in the same boat as that white woman. So don't jump on that side and continue to tear down your black man. But, you know, whatever the solution is, it needs to be not only to prop up your black man, but prop yourself up as well. The solution should not be to, you know, continue to tear down the most discriminated person on the planet, which is the black male. You know, so far as a woman, I think those roles have to be discussed. Because we have different types of relationship. We have women relationship, men relationship, woman men, whatever. You know, but I think in general, whatever those roles that, you know, in your relationship to each other, you guys, I think we do have to sit down and talk about those things. Like, hey, you know, I'm going to be in charge of this and making sure this and this and this is done. You can rely on me. You can count on me for this. And on a counterpart to my fiance, it's like, you know, I'm counting on you to barely knock, you know, these things out. And it doesn't always have to be the traditional gender role. It's not, hey, you're a woman, you have to sit at home and cook. You know, you're a woman, you can't go to school, you can't work. You know, that's not true. You know, I don't believe that. But at the same time, we got to have, you know, some identity to what these roles are. So that way our children that we have, they can see these as role models and examples. You know, our children learn from us. They learn from inside the house first, you know. And by our children seeing not only the man respect his woman, you know, respect his wife, respect his man, what they learn is, you know, how they're supposed to be treated. Same vice versa. You know, our sons and our daughters, when they see the mother, you know, in the household respecting the father and, you know, upholding the father and things of that nature, you know, they learn how they're supposed to treat the man as well. And these are conversations that should be had in both ways, not, oh, forget that person. You don't know that person, you know, F them, this, that, and the other, you know. And it's what I do see a lot is a lot of violence, you know, that is being taught, a lot of hate, a lot of miscommunication, not knowing how to express ourselves in a positive manner. And I'm not saying all the time. You know, and I think, you know, me and my fiance, we do a really good job of talking. We argue, we fight all the time, but we come out of that way stronger. We come out of that understanding the other person's perspective and, you know, really being able to take, you know, a conscious look at ourselves. And I think that's important for all of us. And that goes to what the previous caller was saying. You know, we ourselves are going to have to do this. We can't rely on Trump. We can't rely on Biden. We can't rely on anyone else to try to fix what's going on in our house. We have to do it ourselves.
I agree, but also black women and families have also been responsible for a lot, mostly for the care mm-hmm. in the family. They nurture, they take care mm-hmm. of their spouses if they're married, the children, even aging family members, parents. So mm-hmm. a lot of black women, they have a lot on their plate. And they have to be superwomen, the majority 1,000% of the time.
1,000%. And I don't think that should be the case. You know, I agree with you. And from my perspective, I was born in the 90s, you know. So, like, you know, a lot of stuff happened before me, a lot of stuff's going to happen after me, right? You know, I feel like, you know, the children that was born during my generation and my era, in my opinion, you know, from what I witnessed, especially throughout my family, you know, it's been an era of, you know, independent woman, angry black woman, you know, where if the police have came in and took out our role models. You know, you look at the 70s, you look at the 60s, the late 60s, 70s, the 80s, you know, drugs hitting the crime. I mean, even the 90s, drugs hitting our society, hitting our neighborhood so hard, we didn't get any help. You know, the police said, hey, we're going to come, we're going to remove the man out of the house. You know, we're going to give the woman, we're going to give you food stamps. We're going to give you Section 8. We're going to give you all the things that the man is supposed to provide for you at that point in time. Not saying that that's only for men. You know, women can provide for themselves. So I'm not saying they can't. But at the same time, what the government did. And realistically, what I want to make sure, you know, what we're not doing going forward is teaching our generation coming after us, you know, that same mentality. You know, like, it was a time, like, it's a time where a lot of black women had to do it all on their own. Their husbands or men were dead. You know, they was in prison. You know, they was, you know, kicked out of the house because you had a kid in order to survive. Your man better not be living there or you're not getting these benefits. You know what I mean? We need to make sure we're not staying on that level. We need to make sure we rise above that, you know. And I feel like, you know, as a black woman, the only reason we're able to make it in our society now is because of the black woman. I mean, if it wasn't for the women, you know, we would be completely lost. Because, I mean, like I said, they took the men out of the house.
I agree. So where do you think we should start? Because I think people have to be taught, because it is a learned behavior.
Right.
And reprogram our thinking, change our mindset, and
most definitely
stop falling for the tricks of the white man.
I agree. You know, and I think that goes both ways. You know, I don't think it's just men, because I'm gonna be honest, I got a lot of friends. I wouldn't even call them friends. I know a lot of people, I think that's better to say. You know, where, you know, you listen to them talk, I'm like, man, you're crazy. You know, I listen to what some of these guys are saying, I'm like, you guys are ignorant. Like, that's your child. You know, you have kids, you have guys now who are having kids. They didn't grow up with their father in their lives. And at the same time is willing to do the same thing to the child what their father did to them, or what the system did to them with their father. You know, it's like we ourselves got to make sure we're doing that. And I think a lot of that responsibility, unfortunately, is going to fall on the shoulders of our strong black women. Because they are the nurturers, you know, they are the ones who can handle. And I'm not saying they should have to handle this. You know what I mean? We as guys, as men, you know, we have been, you know, stripped from our manhood, you know, far as, you know, being able to provide for our family. I mean, let's be realistic. You take a black man coming out of poverty right now, you know, you get a job, mm-hmm. you're making minimum wage. You can't provide for your family there. You know, actually, it's harder for you to be in the household, you know, because the woman won't get the benefits if she does have kids. You know what I'm saying? So it comes, and then two, you know, as a black man, we get longer sentences than a woman, even if it is a black woman. And on top of that, any other race, period, we get longer sentences if we're convicted of anything. And they don't use a lot of evidence to convict us. You know, you breathe the wrong way, that's enough evidence to get a conviction for them. You know, and so, like, I think a lot of this is going to, you know, fall on, you know, us black men who are woke, who are educated, to go out there and show these kids that, hey, you know, there's other ways of doing things. You know, I played sports in high school, right? Everybody right. knows me from being strong, being fast, you know, whatever it is, athletic. I tell kids all the time, sports isn't the only way. You know, you can use your brain to get to where you want to be, and we got to show them how. You know, if all they see is drug dealers getting all the girls, then obviously they want to become drug dealers so they can get the girls. If all they see is the girls going out to drug dealers, then obviously they're going to be the girl that want to go out to the drug dealer. Like, we have to show them that there's other stuff, and that comes on responsibility as us as parents, both men and women alike. You know, it goes on the responsibility of a man to show these boys how to be men. You know, to show these boys how to treat a woman, to show these boys how to be the head of a household. And it also goes on our women to show our young girls how to become a queen, how to be a real woman, how to support her man and also support her own goals and dreams. I mean, if she decides she wants to be one, she wants, you know, obviously a person should love who they want to love, be who they want to be with. But you know, we're talking just strictly, like, are we talking what we would normally call traditional? You know, like, that's just real. We have to, you know, be the change that we want to be.
I agree. Are there any more callers or anybody has any comment? 516-531-9540 and press 1.
I just want to comment on what has already been said about male and female relationships. I think...
Okay.
When men and women get together, they have to realize that it should be a partnership, and one shouldn't have more authority than the other, even though the Bible says a man should be the head of his household. And that doesn't mean that he has to make the most money. Sometimes men don't accept the fact that a woman makes more money than he does, and he can't handle that. But in a real relationship, you know, there was once upon a time when my husband went out on disability. You know what I did? I held down a full-time job and got me a part-time job because I was used to living a certain way, and I liked it. So I had no problem helping my husband until he got his disability. And see, some women like to throw things up in a man's face, but it's supposed to be a partnership. When your man is down, you help bring him up, even if you have to work and get a part-time job also. You have to learn how to share responsibility. And it don't mean you have to be, like one, the last gentleman said, something about the educated people going to go out, have to go out and teach the masses of young people what it is to be a man or a woman. But you don't even have to have an education to learn how to be a man and learn how to be a woman. It's just how you treat each other. And you have to agree on certain things. Like, you have to set goals. You don't have to have an education to set goals to obtain what you want out of life. Because there's a lot of people that didn't have education who are millionaires now. But it helps when you get that understanding between each other, because the Bible said be a helpmate, and that's with each other, not just you helping one person. You help each other, and you have to give and take and listen to each other to make it. And, you know, some of us women out there that think we know everything and don't give some men a chance to prove their worth. And then they are looking for the wrong thing, like the gentleman said. They're going by what this drug dealer can buy them or something like that. And that don't last. Because the first thing they should, if they got them a man with doing drugs, she better have money for his lawyer, and then she better take the other money and hide it for herself. Because he going to jail, or to the cemetery. And that's the only thing going to happen. But we have to learn how to be a family, because when you look at it, white men broke down the black male. He made it hard for him ever since slavery. And they got to get over that. Get over what he did to you. Take it back. That's what they got to do now. They got to take their manhood back.
Can you still hear me?
Because they took not only
yes,
their name.
Okay, hold on. I got a caller calling in. Okay, new caller.
No, it's not a new caller. It's the gentleman who wants to respond to the lady.
Oh, okay. Okay, fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I mean, I love what you're saying, and I agree with it. One thing I do want to clarify, if I may, is that when I use the word educated, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have a college degree. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have a master's or a doctorate. Educated means that you have information that can be shared and that should be shared, you know. And so, like, reason why I wanted to clarify that is because, like, you know, it is important who's giving these messages. It is important, you know where the message is coming from. You know what I mean? Like, I know, for example, myself, you know, I worked at the Boys and Girls Club. Really, I volunteered. I did, you know, several hundreds of hours of volunteer work with the Boys and Girls Club with different kids, different ages, you know. And it was really important for them to see someone going to school. It was really good to see someone who was in everyday life working and that's just like them. And it's like, oh, like, you're just like my dad or you're just like my uncle or whoever that father figure is to them. So, like, when I say educated, I do want to make sure I make that clear, that it doesn't mean, oh, you have to get a degree before you can teach someone something. You know, educated simply means you have, I mean, first off, you have common sense. You know how to use it. You know, you have some type of self-respect and dignity that, and also morals and values that you won't betray, you know, and those are the things that needs to be a skill, not necessarily, you know, what's the square root of 3,025, you know, not necessarily that information, but like, what are our values? What are our core values? I mean, we're quick to fight. We're quick to talk, you know, and at the end of the day, the problem is still the same, right? So we have to start thinking, you know, above this surface level that people want us to think on, where it's just you versus me, you know. And I think, you know, education does have a big part of that, whether, you know, it's education that you learn. I mean, a lot of stuff that I learned didn't come from school. A lot of stuff I learned come from talking to the generation ahead of me, talking to my great uncles, talking to my uncles, talking to my dad, you know, talking, asking questions. You know, we want to talk about history class. I mean, our family, our older family members should be our best history teachers. I mean, they lived it. They were there. You know, they could tell you the stories. So I feel like that's something that's really important. So I don't want to, and I don't want to ever try to diminish, you know, the woman figure in the household. The woman figure is very important. But what I will say about that is, and this is something that I've just noticed, I don't hear, I'm not saying no white woman says this, you know. There are some that's going to be out there, but you don't hear too many white women jumping off, you know, disclaiming the man being the head of the house, or Hispanic women or Asian women. Like, that's something that's primarily done, I feel like, in the black community. And I think we should take note of that, not saying that the woman has to be underneath the man and the woman is pretty much a slave or anything like that to the man. But, like, my thing is when I hear about, like, being a head of the household, the way I take that, that crown and put it on my head is, first off, I got to think about her first. I got to think about my wife as if she's me, you know. And when you have that type of mentality, you don't really have those power struggles that I felt like was being portrayed there, you know. And
but
I think that's,
you think
very
some
important.
Some of these images of the black man is perpetrated by mainstream media and our own music industries?
I think, all right, so far as mainstream media, I would say yes. As far as our own music, I feel like our music is more of a culture where we have more control over it, and we're just imitating, just like art does in any type of genre, what we see. When you look at groups like NWA, right, all the violence and things in their lyrics, like they explain, hey, they're telling the story of what they come from, you know. When you look at media, it's too often that in media the black character either has to pay the second lead, you know, where it's like, hey, I'm important, but this person here that's white is more important than us, right? Second, how often have on TV of any platform, whether it's Netflix or whatever the case may be, have you seen an all black, and I mean an all black cast, period. Every person on there is black. I can tell you right now on Netflix, if you go on, you can look at the whole entire history of England on one of their I forget the name of the show, but there's not one black person on the show. Not one. Not even a slave. There's not one black person on the show. And I think that speaks volumes to what we see and what we put representation of what is good and bad. I think that's a lot, whether we believe it or not, that's a lot to do with our subculture, where, you know, we might not be conscious of what we truly feel or why we feel that way, but we got to acknowledge those things. And I think, like, one of the things that Tyler Perry is doing, where in Georgia he bought all this land to create, so we can have our own place where we can go and create our own art. And I think we're starting to have enough, not just money, but also influence to be able to do that. And I think going forward, I think we are going to have bigger outlets, not just one channel, BET, where it was primarily rap videos throughout the, you know, 80s and early, I mean, throughout the 90s and early 2000s, right? Where we're going to be able to see more Tyler Perry's film. I mean, like, I mean, some people love him, some people hate him, but, like, he's someone who puts a note to make it a black judge, to make it a black lawyer, you know, to make it black. In general, in a positive sense, not everybody's out here selling drugs. Not everybody is Madea. You know, he has a lot of great, powerful role models inside of his films that is not just sports and drugs. You know, they're regular people with regular jobs as well.
Thank
Did I answer
you.
Your question?
Mm-hmm. You have another caller on 1233.
Okay, caller. Hello?
Hello. Yes, I was just going to agree with what they were saying about the household in particular. One thing I did want to comment that the man said on the call was about the black independent women. I feel like a lot of black women get a lot of backlash for being so independent. But as the man stated, like, it needs to be taught in a better way to be independent, because it is harder for women. Well, I feel like black women to have a man because we are so independent, and I feel that way personally, because you have to do everything. You're used to doing everything by yourself, not always, but like I said, most of the black men go to jail. Like, I mean, I've seen most of the black men around me go to jail or something of that nature, except for, you know, my great uncles. I mean, they weren't in prison, but after that generation was gone, like, most men are in prison. It's like we're forced to be so independent. And I do feel like children have to be raised in a better way to accept the man, because it is hard for a black woman to have a man when you're used to just doing everything alone and letting somebody else do that with you and lead with you. So I disagree that it's like a family issue and the way that people are raised, and you got to, the black woman and the black man have to find that balance. And I feel like that's why there's a lot of tension with black men and black women, because it's hard. We're both, like, as black people, as a race, like, the world is against us, and more so the black man. So it almost puts us against each other, because we have to be so independent, and it's hard to accept a black man when they want to feel like they're the man. And hell, we've been the men. So, I mean, it's just hard to find that balance. So I agree, but I think, like, black men and black women need to come together and find that balance instead of being so pushed away from each other, because, like, we're at war with the world together. Like, we're together as much as some of us don't want to be. Like, we're in it together, and everybody else is still going to be against us, so we need to find a balance.
I agree with the balance, because I do believe black men and women are stronger together. And do you have any suggestions how they might start toward that balance? What steps might be taken? Anybody?
Personally, for me, I think you got to acknowledge that's a problem. People don't know that that's a problem. I personally didn't realize that that was a problem. People don't see that. They just see, hey, this black man is saying, I'm going to go get me a white woman or a different kind of woman. And then the black man sees the black woman like, I don't need a man, blah, blah, blah. But they don't realize that there's a problem in the black community.
Why do you think how this became a war between the black man and the black woman? How do you think this started?
I mean, like the man said before, you know, it's like the man can't be in the household. Like, you don't need the man. Come get these government benefits and all this and that. And then, you know, black men are going to prison at an astronomical rate. All those factors just kind of lead, like, us to be against each other. But it's hard for people to realize that, because a lot of people don't even realize how we got here. If you realize how we got here and why black men are in prison, people just think black men sell drugs. But, I mean, other people sell drugs also. But some people don't realize that the black man is more likely to get time for that crime than the man. So I just think that, like, we don't realize that it's making us clash. The factors that are making us clash, like, these things are just making us clash. And people don't realize why we're clashing. I mean, I have that problem myself. Like, man, why do I clash with men? And I'm like, okay, I realize, like, hey, I just feel like black people in general are at war with everyone else, because no one likes us in general, and, like, we're falling for the setup.
I agree. Are there any more callers with any comments or questions?
You got 5240 on the line.
Okay. Caller, come on.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. What the gentleman's talking about and what the young lady talking about, both of them, I agree. You know, I agree with the gentleman, you know, said for me not having a father myself and raising, you know, my kids because, you know, I didn't have that father figure that I wanted to do better. And also coming up in the projects, yeah, you, that's right. There wasn't a lot of men in role models, and the role models that we did have was drug dealers and, you know, other people that I know, a lot of older guys and that's in prison for murder and drugs and other stuff. That's a, so those are your role models at the time. So, you know, it wasn't really good role models. So, you know, you had a few, maybe in church, you know, some other stuff like that. But I've been said that, you know what I mean? The same thing with, you know, my wife's strong, independent, but still, you know, she can be feminine. She can be all this stuff because she's a go-getter. She's strong. She's independent. And that's the type of stuff that we have, you know what I mean? She was like, I'm so used to doing this stuff on my own through college, through all this. So, you know, you have fights, you have, you know what I mean, who going to be in charge, you know what I mean? Because she, like, you know, I'm used to doing everything myself. And, you know, I don't trust men so much. And, you know, for black couples, you know, you go to war. So when the young gentleman said that, yeah, you're going to have days where you're fighting for leverage. You're fighting for, like, who going to want to be in charge. But at the same time, you got to come to agreement. Like, okay, let's work stuff out. You know what I mean? I know my job, you do your job. And I think that's the best way to keep it because, like you said, like the young lady said, still, you know, nobody like us. Everybody always at war against us. So, really, you know, we got to start, you know, working together, whether it's girlfriend, boyfriend, or couples of marriage or whatever, blacks. I mean, I do agree with that. It's just a lot of fights and arguing on them because somebody going to want to take the manly role and, you know what I mean? And then because if a man don't be a man, the woman going to have less respect for him. So, the man got to assert himself away without not degrading a woman and not treating her bad, but letting her know, hey, I'm a man, I'm going to be a man, but I can still respect and understand what you're going through and take care. So I think, you know, but, you know, as always, you know, and like the young lady said, I've been talking to, I know a lot of other females that are strong and independent, they feel that way. Hell, I've been doing it all myself, or he got pregnant and he left me. So that's a lot of that going on in the black community. A lot of women say, yeah, I'm strong, I'm feminine, and, you know, it's just so much what the young man was talking about that I agree on, that a lot of women are just mad, they're frustrated. You know, a lot of them been molested by family members or other people. A lot of them just have a lot of animosity towards black men at a young age. So, you know, that hinders them through relationships. And sometimes if they get a good man, they don't know how to treat him because, you know, it's different. You know, that's something like, okay, I didn't know. You know, females have told me that he was just so good to her. I end up fucking up, but didn't, you know, I let him go because he was so good. And that's something that black women not used to have. And so when they do get a decent, honest man who good to him and all that, a lot of them don't know how to treat him because they're used to animosity, tongue wrestling. And that's one thing when I got older, instead of dealing with ghetto girls that I grew up with in the hood, in the projects, you know, as I got older and I started dealing with women who had education, that was always better for me because I had more intellectual conversations with women. I had a better vibe. I didn't have to argue. I didn't have to be this thug. I didn't have to be this. I can just be myself and I can just relax. And even with foreign women, when I dated Asian women or Spanish women, a few different kinds of Spanish women, but I can always be myself with a black man. If I want to take, you know, a female on a picnic, or I want to take her to jazz, if I want to take her to a symphony, it was cool. But most black women, if you tell them about a symphony, oh, that's some cracker stuff, we don't do that. You know, they got, like, you know what I'm saying, like, you always got to prove your goddamn manhood all the time. And I noticed that dealing with real ghetto women, you got to prove your manhood. And sometimes as you get older, you get tired of that. You know what I mean? You just want a good conversation, and you want to be respected as a man. And I know from dating different races of women, they do that. Black women going to take you through the most shit. You always got to prove yourself. You always got to argue. You always got to put your foot down. You always got to, I'm saying, and sometimes it gets frustrating. And just like black guys in my family that got college degrees, most of them dating white women. because it's not that they don't like black women. It's just either you get tired of arguing with them. Everything got to be about a fight. Everything got to be, and if you're different, you're educated, you talk better and all that other stuff like that, right there, they don't respect you. And so sometimes you say, okay, well, you know, black men like white women. No, there are some black people I know for a fight love black women, but they don't have the time to argue. They don't have the time to fight. They don't have time for BSing all the time. You know what I mean? They're trying to make goals. They're trying to make future plans, and they want to do it with a black woman. But I know black guys personally, and some of my family say, I can't do it because, man, they don't respect me as a man. I mean, I'm not no rah-rah guy. I don't put my hands on them. I'm just laid back. I'm low-key. You know what I'm saying? I may be a little quirky. I may be a little lame, but black women just don't like me. And there's a lot of black women. There's a lot of black men like that all over the country. That their first stop was a black woman, but you know that's just something that you have to deal with. And so my thing is, if you got a young black daughter now, you should start raising her at a young age in elementary. Like, hey, yeah, about the man respecting her, and everybody gonna have their different views and all that. Don't look at a man because he nice, he down, or you know what I'm saying, he ain't got his pants down, or. So stuff like that, we have to start teaching our young females.
I have a question for you. My question is, what did you tell your daughters, or what would you tell your daughters about growing up, about getting in a relationship?
Oh, I told my daughters, you know, especially my youngest daughter, she kind of really thuggish. But, you know, prime example, I told both of them the same thing, treat a man right, do the stuff. Some of them doing it. But my baby daughter, prime example, her boyfriend, fiance, is very educated. You know, his family educated. You know what I mean? They got degrees. They stay in nice suburbs, nice, beautiful house and all that. So he comes from the University of West Virginia. He graduated a degree from the University of West Virginia. Very intellectual conversation with her, and she was saying, you know, he kind of soft and kind of boring and all that, and she wanted to do all this, you know, she wanted this other kind of stuff, and I set her to the side, and I was like, yeah, you know what, that's the best man for you. I said, you got somebody that love his child, love you, you know, he intellectual, you know what I'm saying, he don't go to clubs, he home after work at a certain time, he let you know where he gonna be. He pick up his phone. He ain't coming in 6-7 in the morning. He don't drink. You know what I'm saying? He don't eat meat. You know what I'm saying? So I said, you can't look at the man as soft. I said, you can't look at the man as weak. Because she used to go off on him all the time, and he got frustrated. And I told him the same. I said, man, you have to put your foot down. I said, she a woman, but sometimes as a man, you have to put your foot down. Because if you don't put your foot down, they're going to lose respect for you. I said, but at the same time, you don't have to hit her nothing. You just have to put your foot down and assert yourself. And be ready to walk away. And so, you know, they had little arguments here and there, and they did stuff, but they back together, and they real strong now. But like I said before, you know what I mean, it's just hard, you know what I mean? And I know my daughter, especially the baby girl, she's just real hard to deal with. And, you know, she'll talk, and she'll over-talk and disrespect you if you're not assertive enough to put your foot down. And so me and her talk like that, and she's like, oh, okay, Daddy, I'll see, and all that other stuff. So that's how I talked to her about respecting the man. And I told her a long time ago, if you see a sorry man years ago, and this when they was young girls, I talked about sex, oral, I talked about a lot of stuff. And I said a long time ago, if you find a man that ain't got nowhere to stay, he trying to move with you, fuck him, because he ain't got nowhere to go. You know, I told him about sorry men a long time ago. It's so early, to, they were tired of hearing it, but as they got older, they said, okay, I see now, you know what I mean? So my thing was, I just told them about respecting the right type of men. Now, they don't deal with sorry men because I've been putting that in their head since they was little girls. I'm talking about they was 4 or 5 years old, and they got mad at me. When I saw you talk about a sorry man, well, I just want you, I'm just starting out early so you know later on not to be fucking with certain type of men. So now they get it. That's because I've been putting it in their head years ago, and they see it through the family. So that's what I got to say. But the gentleman was right about that, man. The young lady was right, too. I mean, you know, blacks are always at war with each other. And any time you're dealing with a strong, independent woman, you got to be a wall. But you, as a man, you got to search yourself and be a man and let her know that you still respect her and you still love her and you still care about her. But at the end of the day, you're the man, she the woman. It's your job to protect her and the kids. At the end of the day, and her job is to respect you for being the man that you are.
I have another question for you. Since your father wasn't there for you, who helped you to become a man? Because, you know, it's hard sometimes for a woman to raise a son to become a man. Women say all the time, oh, I raised my son to be a man. But there are things we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know exactly how our sons might feel. We can assume, but it's different.
Yes,
so how do you navigate that?
Yes, I was at navigation, but for me, it was my uncle. You know, I just hadn't helped good uncles at the time. They was working and doing stuff and spending time with my uncles who helped us out a lot because, like I said, my dad wasn't there. But we had to have the good uncle that I love today. You know, all my brothers, we love our uncles because they're real cool. They're down to earth. Still to this day, we call. You know, they got our backs, we got their backs. So, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I think I just had good uncles. And at the time, my mom was hard on us about working, doing stuff for yourself, and not being lazy. So she stayed on us about that. She didn't baby us. Because when you got sons, you don't have to baby. You should never have to baby a son of your woman. You should put the pressure on him to do it. And especially with us being poor, not having much, you know what I'm saying? When we start going to work, we start buying our own clothes and we start doing our own stuff. But I thank my uncles and Dr. Randolph. You know what I mean? That was he wasn't my uncle, but he was an older gentleman that was a principal at a school that he taught me about education, about being a man and taking responsibility. So because that was a blessing to him because I was doing real bad in school at the time that I met Dr. Randolph, and he changed the course, and that's probably the reason why I graduated and took me to look at things different. But it was my uncles and Dr. Randolph, and my mom had always stayed on us about doing stuff, you know, not being lazy, you know what I mean? And then she never had no money. And then, you know, when you're in the inner city, it's always pressure. Everybody pull. But when you got on 3 strikes, you're out, tennis shoes, and everybody else got on Nikes or whatever, when you go to school, you ain't the hippest guy, so everybody picking at you. It's that type. And then when you grow up, you realize, man, we all pull. Some people just had to scrape to get what they could for their kids. But, I mean, it's pressure when you go into inner city school and you don't have the shoes, you don't have, then you start seeing the young girls start having sex for money and other stuff because they got to do what they got to do. See what I mean? So then you see the drug dealers gotten all the gold in their mouth and all the other stuff. And one of the biggest drug dealers was Wang Wang. And then he was a good friend. And he was pulled out of the projects, and he went down to Miami one summer. He came back, you know, just tricked out, gold and everything. And then that's when I noticed how he was black as tide, ugly as hell. He started getting all the light-skinned girls because he had money. He had gold in his mouth, wads of money, drugs. And, you know, and I wanted that. So I told Wang Wang, true story, I told Wang Wang, I said, man, Wang Wang, man, I'm tired of being poor and all that. So I wanted to get on. Said, dope. He was like, nah, man, you don't need to do that, man. This ain't no life for you. He said, nah, man, I'm not going to put you on, man, because I don't know when I don't know when I'm going to jail or get shot up or whatever. So he said, man, the best thing for you is just keep going to school and do what you think. Make a long story short, Wang Wang got life in prison. Shot somebody down by Miami years ago in the early 90s, and they gave him life in prison. Because he had a lot of dope on him and guns. But the thing is, that's when I learned the power of money and what women would do for money. Because, I mean, we had a party and women was doing, I'm not going to say what women did, but, you know, he was like, hey, man, I got this party we going on. And women did all type of stuff that I never had done before, beautiful women. So I knew the power of money and drugs right then that was on a whole other level. That's why I wanted to do it. But he was like, nah, man, I'm not going to put you on like that. What I'm doing ain't nothing, man. I can be going to prison or die anytime. You know what I mean? But I had a glance of what money can do and what beautiful women would do with money, with guys who got money or do anything. So, but my thing, I stayed focused and I graduated and, you know, but yeah, it was my uncles and then Dr. Renault that set me on the right path. So, you know, that's my story. But I think it's still, you know, I think it's still for men and women to respect each other because, like I said, everybody against us. And, you know, you constantly got to fight with black women a lot of times. But black women good. I mean, it's just I understand that sometimes, you know, they got to do it on their own. They get mistreated. You know, they get pregnant and guys leave and they get lied to. And men just see the mistakes of the object. So I understand both sides. So they always got to keep their guard up. So they always got to keep a persona about themselves.
Okay. Yep. That was very good, and I agree with a lot of what you said because I had kids, and my kid's father was arrested by the feds and taken away, money gone, and I had very good uncles who were there for my son and for my children. And also, my kids had grandfathers who was there and everything to help out, you know, to help steer them in the right direction. So I know how it can be hard for a woman trying to raise kids alone and things like that. Now, does anybody else have a comment or a question? Dial 516-531-9540 and press 1.
Oh, yes, I would like to say that, I had help from my aunties, too, so I don't want to leave them out.
You have one more caller on 1053.
Okay, caller, go ahead.
Hello, Sean. I would just like to make a comment. I think one of the commentators asked, where did all this start from with all the violence and black-on-black crime? And
right.
I would just like to call your audience's attention to Google Willie Lynch. What is the Willie Lynch theory? It goes back to 1712 when he gave his speech in Virginia.
Right.
And this is what I think you were the one that made that comment.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And this is the same strategy that white people are using on black people today. Just go Google that. Willie Lynch.
I read the Willie Lynch letter.
17. Okay. And that was one of his theories. Don't beat and kill your slaves. Hey, here's how you do it. You pit them against each other. The black, real black slave against the light-complected slave. You have the women against the men, the old against the young. And this is being carried out today by white people against black communities now. And another thing that I would just like to point out, you know, we're quick to tell somebody how the youth about what they should be doing and how they should be doing and what they should think and how they should act. I think we should communicate with those children that are in the youth detention centers and find out why they did what they did, try to get to the crux of the problem, what is in their head, and then we have to deal with what is in their head, why they think went astray or why are they in trouble. And I think we can resolve this problem, but we just have to know that this is just not happening by chance. This is orchestrated by a society that believes in racism and prejudice, and they're following Jimmy Lynch. Willie Lynch. Follow
right.
him, and you'll find out how we think like we do today.
Cassie, something. Do you think the politicians are practicing the Willie Lynch theory?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. They're practicing the Willie Lynch theory because they know how to divide and conquer. And this is one of the biggest they know how to divide and conquer. And you have it at the highest level in government, right from the president on down. They're pros at that. And they keep making us think that we are the problem. We are the ones. Black communities, all the violence, we're the problem. And they separate us and cause us to have bad economic times. A lot of this is just really economics. If a man, and I think some of your callers made the comment, if a man can't get a job and take care of himself and his family, and his family is destroyed, and then the kid goes to the street and starts joining the gangs, that's the issue right there. It gets back to economics. And as you know, this is controlled a lot by the government.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we should take a stronger part in politics and try to correct that and just have a level playing field. Because if we
Do
have
you
the
think
level
that
playing
we need
field,
to rely on politics, or we have to practice other avenues and strategies to get our goals?
Well, I think we have to rely on politicians because that's how all the laws are passed. All your laws are passed. We're governed by politics. So we have to stay in the game. And all of the laws, especially it goes back city, county, state, and federal. We're governed by laws. Whether we want to accept that or not, we're governed by laws. If that is the system. and all of these lawmakers are elected, and they determine, like, for example, your county prosecutor, if you're in Cook County, Chicago, your county prosecutor is the one that brings the charges against your sons and your daughters and your children. They are the ones that bring the charges. Well, if you can get a prosecutor that's more in tune to how you think and for your causes, you're not going to have that massive lockup like you have. You're not going to have a harsh sentences. Your circuit judges are elected.
Can I chime in?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I understand, like, the way, like your system and how you explain it. I just feel like if we rely on politics or we rely on this system, we're going to be doomed to fail. Like, we're not going to get anywhere that way. I'm going to be realistic.
Let me ask you this question. Who controls your everyday life as far as how you're governed?
Who controls my life?
Yeah, your life, my life, all of us. What laws govern
us? I control my life. I control my life.
To a certain extent.
No,
but I'm talking about
my thing is, I make choices. Like, you can make choices. Your choices is going to give you consequences and rewards, depending on what your choices are.
And the consequences, I
choose my choices.
Right, and the consequences are going to be determined by the law.
Yeah, it depends. Not really, because I could break the law. Listen, Trump sit here and says it on TV, loud and clear. He can stand in front of Fifth Ave, shoot someone, and still get elected.
Yeah, can you do that?
And they love it.
Can you do that? No, but can you do that?
Can I personally do that? Hold on. Can I personally do that? No. Now, if I had $5 billion, I probably could.
Well, try it as a black man with $100 million.
No, well, I get what you're saying, but what I'm saying also to you is money do have a huge effect. Like, the law is the law, but you look at Trayvon Martin's killer. He's walking free.
Yeah.
Right? The law is the law.
And
I get what you're saying. But reality is
a court and a jury determine that.
And that's on
the
us.
Law.
That's on us.
That's
like,
right.
My thing is, how many people sit here and get jury duty and don't take it seriously? How many people get jury duty and try to find some way to get out? Like, my thing is, I hear what you're saying, but really the power is the people. At the end of the day, whoever controls the people has the power, regardless of what the law is, regardless about money. You got to have people, and you got to have your movement. That's what power
comes. Let me give you a good example. 70% of the people want gun control, but the Republicans in Congress, the NRA, has paid them off. They say, you're not getting that. 70% want it. So the population, it still gets back to a politician because you're not going to get gun control like all these guns are coming into Chicago and these other cities. That's laws allowing that to happen.
But you want gun control, the fastest gun control ever that was approved by the NRA that you're talking about came from when black people went in legally with guns. You want true gun control? Go get your gun license. You want gun control? That's what you do. Every black person you see, you make sure they have their gun license. You make sure they go and fill out their card. They spend that little $100 that will keep them from being illegal. You make sure you
gun
educate
control,
people
when they
on
pass
gun
the law that you can't have an AK-47. That's gun control.
Well, I understand
when they pass
that,
the
but
law,
if you don't want people to have AK-47, as soon as black people start getting guns, they restrict the law. If you want the law restricted, that's what you have to do. That's reality. Look at the Black Panthers. They got gun legislation done within 3 months in California with the NRA help. Within 3 months, they came, drafted a bill, voted on it, and passed.
It was done through legislation.
Yeah.
That's politicians.
Because of why? Because black people showed up with guns following the law.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
So they made the law illegal.
Well, but no, the politicians made it illegal because there must be a vote for a law to be passed.
That's what I just said.
That's the point I'm making. That's why you saying that. That's the point I'm making.
not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised.